from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
0-1, and the pitch from Sporza, swinging a ground ball to third. Smith's got it across to first in time, and the Rangers have gotten out of a bases-loaded no-out jam. What a job by Josh Spores.
Spores and Lats finishing up the job for Max Scherzer and, of course, Josh Smith, the offensive hero, as the Texas Rangers getting going a little bit. Let's hit the break. Let's hit the pause button on selling. 7-2 in their last 9 games. They've won 3 series in a row, heading into the All-Star break with the Derby tonight and the game tomorrow in Arlington. All of that coverage on this radio station. This is Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on DFW Sports Station. So we have the win, and then you have the post game.
Okay. Yeah, should be jovial, right?
Should be jovial. But Atolo informed me that we needed to go check the audio of one Jared Sandler getting a little bit feisty with Ash from Garland. Ash from Garland, Kevin Hagelin's neck of the woods, wanted to talk about Adolis Garcia, and I've not heard this yet.
Nah, me neither.
Me either.
So this Ash, your credibility for tempers, judging them, is on the line here. Did Sandler get a little snippy or not?
Like, this is such a what have you done for me lately take, because the Rangers since June 29th has been the second best offense in baseball.
Season they were what, 5 games, producing 5 runs a game, but then there was a dramatic dip, bro. There was
Ash,
a dramatic
I get that
dip.
But you still have not answered my question, which is, who are you not going to put in the lineup every day?
Have you seen what Adolis is doing? I mean,
are you benching Adolis Garcia? If you are, that's fine.
I'm putting him at DH or something. I mean, he's batting what, 212? 215?
Ash, is Adolis Garcia, if you, hey, be a man here. Say it. If you want to say it, say it. Adolis Garcia should not be an everyday player for this team. Is that what you want to say?
I'm not that bold. I'm not
okay.
I'm not bold.
All right.
Ooh.
Be a man.
Ash, okay, this wasn't Ash's credibility, but the Tolo who tweeted me, your credibility, you've checked that off the list, because that was Snippy Sandler.
It was Snippy Sandler. He is right. The funny thing is that when you say,
dang,
I want to take Adolis and make him the DH. Why do you want to make him the DH? Because he's a 212 hitter. Why doesn't make any sense?
Yeah.
That was the part of where it's like, well, make him the DH. So the only thing he does is what you say he can't do. Like, at least he's got a cannon in the outfield.
I wanted Ash to follow up and say, yeah, I want to bench Adolis. Then I wanted to hear what Sandler was going to say. I wanted to see if Sandler was going to double down right there after Garcia had a 143 month of July.
Well, and Sandler wouldn't defend that, but what he would say after that is, as soon as he says put him on the bench, he goes, okay, great. For who? Who are you putting in there? Because there's no good answer, and Jared knows that. Jared was setting it up a certain way. I've seen the Sandler MO plenty of times before, but yeah, this was, if they would have lost that game, If they would have lost that game and Sandler had gotten that call, it would have really leveled up.
Oh,
but
yeah.
you could hear the seeds of the Jared irritation.
Yeah.
Which is he's trying his damnedest to not just say, like, how dumb he thinks somebody is.
Didn't you say he has been getting snippier more towards the break with the Rangers offense or no? You said that a couple weeks ago?
No, in general, there was a couple weeks ago where he was getting snippy with us in the text. Remember, like, I'd sent some note about, like, offensive stats. He's like, yeah, welcome to the last 3 weeks. It's like, dude, I was just giving you a stat. I know what they've been bad. I was showing you a stat of this is interesting to me. And he's
just bitter that he got proven so wrong about the Mavericks.
Dude, that's what he can't let go of. He is, because he was talking
He
was texting us like during the Clippers series or the Oklahoma City series. Early on, like game one, he'd be like, they're just not ready. And he does the little shrug emoji like, yeah. Well, what am I supposed to do? I just know so much sports, guys. How are you supposed to handle that? And so he's been better the last couple times that we had him on in terms of his mood has been a little more up.
Let's hear it one more time. Does this go into the Sandler annals of broadcasting anger?
Well, like, this is such a what have you done for me lately take. Because yeah. the Rangers since June 29th has been the second best offense in baseball.
Season they were what, five games producing 5 runs a game, but then there was a dramatic dip, bro. There was
Ash,
a dramatic
I get that
dip.
But you still have not answered my question, which is, who are you not gonna put in the lineup every day?
Have you seen what Adolis is doing? I mean, we get
are
I mean,
you are
talking
you
about expiring
Ash
contract,
are you
expiring
Ash are you bench contract? Ash are you benching Adolis Garcia? If you are, that's fine.
I'm putting him at DH or something. I mean, he's batting what, 212?
Ash, is Adolis Garcia, if you, hey, be a man here. Say it. If you want to say it, say it. Adolis Garcia should not be an everyday player for this team. Is that what you want to say?
I'm not that bold. I'm not,
okay.
I'm not bold.
All right.
Enough.
Jared Gundy over here.
Man, I'm 40. That's exactly what he's like. Man, I would have thought that he would have had more patience for some of the struggles coming off of the high of the World Series, where he was floating for so long. I did not anticipate that offensive struggles would be enough to wear him down this quick.
That was JBar03 who alerted me. So thank you, Bobby. Good job getting the audio and Chris turning it around. So that was after the Rangers win. How about Alec Medford doing work that Peyton Russell would never dream of doing? Heading out to an extra
hosting a show?
No, he dreams of that. Heading out to an extracurricular activity in order to grab audio. This is what the young up-and-comers actually do. They go out there. I hear Blake Elliott, first or second question at the Klay Thompson press conference. And Alec Medford was out there with T.O.
Terrell Owens at the celebrity softball game or whatever.
That's what he was out there for. Yeah, he almost hit it out of the park. They have those walls, those little...
I thought T.O. did.
No, they have those softball like fences that go 200 feet or something like that. His hit off the outfield wall in left field, like the top of the wall. He almost hit it all the way
That was a perfect example of, we do not grasp the strength of NFL players. This is a 50-year-old. And he had a pretty bad... like it was an all-chest swing. It wasn't... you would never teach this kind of swing. And his sheer strength allowed him to hit a laser rocket that probably didn't get 10 feet off the ground, 330 feet.
Well, Alec was out there catching up with T.O. to talk about CeeDee Lamb and Micah.
Micah Parsons said that he could get a hit off of MLB pitching. Do you think any football player could do so?
Micah Parsons is probably creating content for us. Podcast. I don't think that's possible.
Fair enough. And one more, CeeDee Lamb. Thoughts on him and why the Cowboys should pay him?
I mean, I think it's proven. I mean, obviously, look at the numbers that he's put up. Look at the numbers that the receivers are getting paid. So when you compare that and put yourself in that category and make some comps, then you got to get paid.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to you. So there you go. One for Alec, zero for Peyton. As Peyton Russell, he does not believe in MOS, man on the street audio.
Boy, I think it's the good call to say T.O. Thanks, T.O., to call him by that. I had heard Tom Segura, the stand-up comedian, had said he was on a project with T.O. back in like 2004,
called him Terrell.
This one woman on the set apparently kept calling him Terrell to the point where T.O. said, if she doesn't get my name right, I'm walking away and I'm leaving. So she needs to get my name right.
Because I told her the Glen Heights Fire Department.
Shane.
Yeah, exactly. And then another opportunity missed for Major League Baseball when it comes to the NL starter, Choppy, tomorrow night.
Well, not missed. They got it. They got it right, did they not?
Oh,
skeens. They announced on the Dan Patrick Show. So he was a guest of the Dan Patrick Show on Friday afternoon, and they made the announcement that Paul had no idea, but this is an opportunity missed for Major League Baseball. It's an opportunity gained and missed. It was gained because Paul Skeens is the rightful starter for the National League in the All-Star Game. It is missed because we have another Mike Trout, Wyatt Langford on our hands. So real quick, this is Torrey Lovello, the manager of the National League. So he's the Diamondbacks manager. He gets to manage the National League, obviously Bochy, the American League. He calls in. So Skeens is doing his interview. He calls in to surprise Paul Skeens.
Yeah, I felt like it was my time to just butt in on a really special moment. I could see you guys were having your special time. But Paul, first of all, how are you doing? I just wanted to congratulate you. I've chosen you to be the starter for the National League in the 2024 All-Star Game. I'm really, really excited for you. It's an unbelievable honor and one that's so well deserved.
How about a round of applause?
Let's go. Thank you, sir. That's unbelievable. That's awesome.
Oh, that
sounds thrilled.
He just sounds so thrilled. That's unbelievable. That's awesome.
Was that it?
That's it. That's the missed opportunity. They got Ohtani, who doesn't speak English to the media. Judge, who's been neutered by the Yankees. Mookie Betts, who is just a bowler, right? Mike Trout, who has no personality at all.
Yes.
And Bryce Harper actually has some, so he's the one that has a little bit of personality. But they're superstars. They're larger-than-life players.
Ugh.
Have absolutely no personality whatsoever.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, we had the story last week. Eric had talked about it, about who's his girlfriend? Livvy Dunn. Livvy Dunn had, when he made the All-Star Game, he's just such a simple man. She treated him to a night of like pizza and champagne, and that's what they had for dinner. And then there was this whole article that we went over last week in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His one hobby outside of baseball. What do you think it is, Sean?
Lifting.
Grilling. He's a big grill master.
There you go.
Said he's got two Traegers. One of them's back home in California, the bigger one. Then he's got a travel one that he hadn't been able to take with him from Indianapolis when he got called up, but he really hoped to get it soon because he said if it's not baseball, all he's doing is learning to grill different things. And he said Martin Perez has been very big in helping him understand how to you know, embrace the carnivore diet and take care of his body.
Let's go off the field as Tyreek Hill apparently father yet again. I heard you guys play the Tyreek Hill Baker Mayfield top five quarterback list. It's a baby girl this time, or this minute, because Tyreek reportedly has over 12 kids now, and it's his fifth so far this year. Just weeks after he announced that his wife was expecting. So that's Tyreek Hill. Up to 12. What was Cromartie?
Was it Cromartie?
9, 12, 10?
I think Cromartie was 12. So okay. Somewhere around there. And I mean, what? That's we're getting close to Nick Cannon numbers, where I think Nick Cannon's at like 13.
Yes. Bill Belichick, off the field, of course. He's going to inside the NFL.
14 for Cromartie. So he hasn't caught Cromartie yet.
14 for Cromartie. So this is going to be Bill Belichick joining. Tell me, we'll ping pong back and forth starting with you, Choppy. Who is on inside the NFL these days?
Is Michael Irvin still on there?
No.
Chris Collinsworth?
No.
Boomer Esiason?
Bobby?
Greg Gumbel?
Bob Costas?
J.J. Watt?
Chad Johnson? Chris Long? Ryan Clark? And now Bill Belichick airing on the CW Network for the second straight season. So Belichick on Weekly with McAfee. He's doing some Manning casts, and he's going to make his season debut August 30th.
Those are four pretty compelling analysts, I'd say. Like, I mean, Chad Johnson, he's obviously got the personality. Chris Long has been in the media space for a long time. Yeah. He's been doing podcasts for forever. Belichick obviously is interesting. I mean, that's a decent group.
Will Belichick or Brady be better at broadcasting?
Belichick.
Oh, man, that's... you going to get sentences out of Belichick? That's the question.
He kind of turns it on. He did during the draft coverage. He turned it on a little bit.
He flips a switch. I mean, when he does the when New England would have him do the like coaches corner videos for their websites, he would. He'd light up and he'd say, man, let me tell you about this right here. And he'd all of a sudden be Garrett, like in terms of with the talking about breaking things down. And so I think Belichick will absolutely turn it on.
Yeah, I'll go with Bill. I mean, like, because, I mean, obviously he could coach. He's coached everything. So, like, he could speak to it from there. And Brady as a quarterback, I mean, I think coaches would maybe be better suited for analysts.
Are things about to get better or worse after the Donald Trump assassination attempt? That's next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Below the belt, returning at 8:40.
Do you miss that? You miss saying that?
I miss you guys breaking on time. Like I was listening to G-Bag with Chia Fala running things every day while driving my son to school. And by the way, just when I thought we were collectively the best show at responding to text messages, you guys, that was my biggest letdown of the week off. To texting you guys live during segments, and you, I'm particularly disappointed in, because I know you're getting the text messages on your computer pop up.
Like, yeah, they pop
I have,
up.
And I got no responses. Like 3-4 minutes late, it's like I was dead and forgotten. You guys really helping my contract negotiations.
being, what's going on?
Yeah.
I routinely get, I have 50 unread messages on my phone right now, just in general, from things where I miss it or forget to circle back, or, oh, I don't want to open that and lose the unread notification because I don't have time to respond right now. And so I get lost. I'm laser focused on the show, Sean. And so I miss the text.
And you.
Well, you know.
I expect it from Chia Follow.
Well,
for me, lost in space.
When I have more duties when you're not here.
Ah.
So I don't, I think
which
I actually.
Which are?
Huh?
Which are what?
Well, sometimes, like, you know, top of the hour, I bring it out and I'm constantly thinking where we're going. And plus, I know when you're here when I could stop listening. I don't know that with Eric.
Right.
When he expects something from me. Yeah.
Yes. So Be Low the Belt coming up at 8:40. But I mean, I wrote down every detail I could after the assassination attempt to talk about this. We talked about it originally at 6:40. What happened? All the questions. And then the next question is, where do we go from here? Republican National Convention tonight. President Trump landing down in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but he's expected to speak in a few days. I'll start off with this, and Bobby, you had some strong thoughts last night. You can go after me because RJ and I kind of talked to the 6:40 mainly. I was really relieved and surprised yesterday when Biden and Trump combined to talk about lowering the temperature on all this. Because I can't stand watching these political commentators go, and the politicians, because the blame game starts, right? It's like we do in sports. Who's to blame? And saw the politicians being blamed, saw the us being blamed, the citizens,
yeah,
and the media being blamed. How would you divide up that pie? Or you can just say it's a random crazy person. And in my opinion, the answer is all. All are to blame, but I love, and Dave Portnoy, I can't believe I'm going to cite Dave Portnoy. He goes, it'd be so presidential. It'd be one of the most presidential things that someone has done in a long time if Trump stood up and said, okay, let's pump the brakes. And I was like, there's no chance.
No chance.
Zero chance of that happening. But then reports came out that he's rewriting his RNC speech to talk about unity. And my father-in-law asked me this question, and I thought it was a really interesting question. He goes, do you think this will change President Trump's like philosophy? Is this a scare? Is this a scare? My life flashed before my eyes to where I'm going to try to like back off a little bit. Not that the other side doesn't turn it up as well, but everything about Donald Trump you saw in that he got his ear blown off and he still had the energy and the attitude to stand up and go fight, fight, fight.
Right.
And
yeah.
I was really relieved and surprised to see Biden and Trump. First off, how adult of them to talk to each other if they did.
I wasn't sure that they were actually going to. I figured Biden would reach out because that's, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if Trump was going to take the call. I had no idea what to expect there.
So I'm going to be fascinated to hear what President Trump says about, because that's one of the main words I wrote down from all this coverage is rhetoric. All the rhetoric that is out there, and it's turned into chaos. And it kind of reminded me of the reaction to Biden stumbling and bumbling. Like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, we're so shocked over this. Have you been paying any freaking attention? Like, people who watch news way more than I do, like, what's wrong with him? And I'm like, have you not been watching any video clips whatsoever?
Yeah.
And then all this coverage is, oh my gosh, we've really hit a political volume in this country that's loud and aggressive, and it's like, well, are you a moron?
Have you heard of Facebook?
Seriously,
have you been to Facebook or Twitter? Like, that's where, you know, like that you want real blame. The real blame goes to, it starts with the discourse among citizens, and then the temperature gets viewed by the media, and then they build it, and then it gets viewed by the candidates, and they build on that.
Yep.
I mean, it's just a big, it's a combination of the three, because you're right. It's absolutely all of the above. Like, I fully expected Trump to go to his RNC speech and be like, this is the worst shooter ever.
Okay. Oh, that golf course shot. Supposed story from Reddit yesterday.
Yeah. So was that real that he played golf at 9 a.m. yesterday? Like, he gets shot and then the next day he's playing golf at 9 a.m.
The best course in the country. It's great grass.
But what did he supposedly say? Did you see it?
I don't remember what he said. What did he say?
That's the whole point of me sending it to you. Where he nailed the putt and he goes, unlike the shooter, I don't miss.
I don't miss.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It was from a Reddit board.
Is that real? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what's real anymore. That's the problem with this whole thing. I don't know what's real.
But some of the things that were said that I agree with, like the apocalyptic language, which is 1,000% accurate. And both sides do it. I saw, Biden put him in the bullseye the other day. That was a quote that was going around. Well, I could argue the insurrection. I could argue Nancy Pelosi getting attacked or, not speaking down on certain groups. Everyone's guilty of it. Everyone's guilty of it, both sides of it. Everyone is gaslighted. And then the extremism. The extremism, and I think Biden said it yesterday, like, we now view each other as domestic enemies. That's what it's turned into.
It absolutely.
We are domestic enemies with one another. And that all led and boiled over to, I think, what happened in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and like, okay, and there's all kinds of things that go on with this. And you mentioned that we're so polarized right there and the rhetoric and all that. So, like, MSNBC this morning canceled their morning show. I just saw this. Morning Joe, that show Morning Joe.
That's on MSNBC?
Yeah.
Yep.
They pulled it from the air. You know why? Because despite the fact that the Republican convention is starting today, they pulled the show to avoid one of the show's guests for making an inappropriate comment that could paint the network in a bad light about the assassination attempt. Like, you can't even control yourself on TV?
Like one of the hosts?
One of the hosts or the guests from saying something that might offend in the wake of this.
You can't sit them out for a segment or pull them from the show?
You got to cancel the whole show?
Or like let them say and get fired if it's inappropriate.
Yeah, you're that incapable of controlling yourself? That, to me, is a microcosm of a lot of the things that are going on.
Yeah, but and I mean, Scarborough and Joe Scarborough, they're the host of there, and Trump have had tension for a long time and have taken shots at each other for a long time. No, to me, I am generally of the belief that in all things, and I think it applies here too, you're responsible for your own actions. So, like, this falls on whoever pulled the trigger, whoever walked up to that rooftop with an AR-15,
Thomas
and did what
Matthew
they did.
Crooks.
Yes, that is who's responsible for this more than anything else. Do I think
I agree?
Rhetoric and certain discussions and the way that we talk about things can accentuate that in certain individuals and can be something that they rally around and if he's a radical individual, this guy Thomas Matthew Crooks, I mean, he clearly is a radical individual like that. Do I think that he can be furthered along or pushed based on national rhetoric that he hears? Yeah, absolutely. That can contribute towards him feeling emboldened. But ultimately, again, I think people are responsible for their own actions. And my biggest concern from this would be it's been so long since we had any sort of legitimate assassination attempt. I mean, Reagan with John Hinckley Jr. was the last one, probably. It's been so long since we've had that I think it's almost been out of the mind. Like it's felt like such an impossibility. My concern is that this emboldens somebody else who then goes, oh, this is more accessible than I thought it was. I've always thought of this as some sort of impossibility. We've gone 43 years without it. And so that's where I have a little bit of nerves over the next couple months as this progresses towards November.
Yeah. And the fans actually just pointed this out. It's crazy to think that kid was 12 years old when Trump took office the first time.
Wow.
Like, that's how young this dude is.
AR-15, that it was his father's, legally purchased, had explosives in the car and his home. But when everyone runs, I'm not going to name people's names, they're on both sides. When everyone runs to their Twitter and goes, Biden ordered this, and you calling Trump Hitler for years is the reason, when you start, a long time ago, we stopped being like journalistically careful. And the Skip Baylesses of the political world do this for their own gain. You gaslight, you stick to one narrative, and you get people hype and angry, and you turn it into a mob, and then someone's going to snap, and multiple people are going to snap.
Yep.
I can't wait to see if President Trump takes a different approach of like, let's calm down. Do you think that this affects him in any permanent way moving forward or any temporary way in terms of like almost losing his life? I wonder.
I mean, that's a traumatic event. Anybody would be, traumatized from this. He might be the one that is like, is he going to be toned down or does this enrage him further and send him further into like Trump's ways? You know, like, and you know, what do his supporters want? Do his supporters want to have them come out here and have him say, hey, just calm everything down? Are they going to take that as a sign of weakness? Will that help him gain some independence?
What do you do? I mean, if you're in the same position, if the ideas that you're stating and whatever else, like do you, does that for you, Sean, or you, RJ, does that make you then say, man, I want to back off this? Or does it say, what I'm fighting for, what I'm going for, you know, what I believe in is so threatening to them that they're willing to do that? Because that would be my guess as to how Trump goes for it.
Yeah.
Because he stood right up and immediately was like, because I'll be honest, if that's me, I'm not standing up and pumping my fist. I'm going, I have no idea where there's another shooter.
Love him or hate him, that was all-time badass. It just was.
Yes.
Love him or hate him, you have to admit, like, holy crap. Are you kidding me? He stood up. The all-time photos, Time Magazine, iconic shot of the blood and the fist being put up. Love him or hate him, you just have to go ahead and admit that. But it's a fascinating topic to me to see which way is better for the campaign. Because everyone right now is talking like it's already over. If Trump like talks peace and backing off, does that cost him anything? Probably not. I would venture to guess right now, and guessing public reaction and sentiment, you could win over more of your detractors by doing that and not lose your base.
Your base is your base.
Or do you just go, let's put down the final pedal to the metal and this is war and we're going to win this war within our own country. But they're talking like he's backing off a little bit. He said he's rewriting the whole speech. He's rewriting his whole RNC speech to talk about unity. And I think that is a chance to maybe change some people's minds of like, oh my gosh, like this is a human reaction versus a warrior.
Now he's changing his speech is the report. I know that there was another report out there that said they were telling other attendees not to edit theirs, that they wanted them to keep whatever they had already written for this week. My anticipation has been that exactly what I was just kind of talking about, that's going to be how he's going to respond to it as his talking point for the next few months, which I think will be a compelling talking point for people who are in the middle trying to decide, is the idea of why are they so threatened by the ideas that they feel they need to take them out? Why is the vote not enough? Why do they feel like they can't win on the vote? They have to win in this way. They just have to take me out. That is what I'm guessing the messaging becomes for him over the next few months.
It might be.
Then why is he changing it to unity for this week?
Unity!
I mean, this
may push people further right and left, too. Like, it may not push people towards the middle. It may push people out.
And if he comes out with a different approach, will that have any effect amongst his strongest supporters and base?
Yeah, I think his strongest supporters and base are basically there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that they're going to, like, I don't think a hardcore, like Kid Rock's not leaving.
Yeah.
You know, where's he going to go?
But will it calm down the social media and media extreme
for some.
To not incite as much? I don't know. That would be bad business for them.
Well, if he does.
Because they don't love their country more than anyone else. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. They do it like Skip Bayless, fake for big business on both sides.
Now, if he does come out there and tells everybody to tone it down, it might reduce some of the things that the Biden camp can say about him inciting a mob.
Yeah.
He can be like, hey, look, I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, I told everybody to tamp it down after a shooting attempt. You can't really use that against me anymore. You can't really use that I incited January 6th anymore as much as you used to be able to, because I did tone it down here.
Bobby begins his Dallas Cowboys countdown. 8 days till we're in Oxnard for training camp. 8 different topics. Bobby's Cowboys inventory, getting you ready for camp on the home of America's team next. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
From one contentious topic to another, from politics to Dak Prescott. More on that in just a second. First off, a quick shout out. Training camp's going to be a little bit different for us this year, as every year when we get the parade of Cowboys players brought to us. Jake Ferguson last year, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb. Lamb, who is the star of the training camp interviews. They are typically brought over to us by one Joe Trahan from Cowboys PR, who announced over the weekend that he is leaving. But he'll be working continuously with Tony Fay PR, who is a PR group that's absolutely fantastic. And they do a ton to help us out, booking guests and doing some different things. He'll be heading up their World Cup PR stuff. And so he called me over the weekend to tell me, we're finally going to get you to fairly cover soccer. Like, now that this is going to be my job, I'm gonna make sure that you fairly cover soccer. And I had to tell him, I'm a big fan of the old checkered ball. Always loved it, as us football heads call it. And so congratulations to Joe Trahan, a big change over in the Cowboys PR department. He had spent half his life there with the Cowboys, and he's moving on to greener pastures.
Very, very disappointed. One of the things I look forward to every training camp is the inevitable Sean and Joe fight.
Oh, yeah.
That I was looking for.
Last year, they both separately told me, because that's the first year I've been out there on the show. Obviously, I was there the previous year doing the Cowboys stuff, but that's the first year I've done the show out there. And they both separately told me on the same day about how, oh, yeah, we just basically bicker with each other for like 48 hours. And by the end of it, we're like, oh, this is pretty good. Good camp, guys. And like how they're like the odd couple, but it works. They're always in the end. They're always so happy with each other, but they bicker along the way. Yeah. Like last year, I remember there was one guest, I won't say who, but I remember there was one guest we first got that Sean and Joe went back and forth, text about like, come on, get us a bigger day, bro. Come on, yeah. What are you doing here? So congratulations to Joe. He has always been fantastic. So training camp will be a little bit different for us this year. When we get to training camp, is this the most important position group again this year? Is just quarterback. Is there anywhere you're going to have your eyes on more? Offensive line maybe with all the changes, or is what Trey Lance is doing, what they're managing Dak's workload like if he doesn't have a long-term extension, is quarterback the top priority this year?
Offensive line, according to you last night.
Well, offensive line, because, you know, that list that came out, you know, the Cowboys did not have an offensive tackle in the top 10 or the honorable mentions or the other receiving votes. That was 26 players, Bobby.
Well, I mean, look, here...
At tackle. Now, that to me, that's kind of scary.
But, I mean, there's also Terrence Steele's coming off of an injury. He was considered one of the better right tackles in the NFL before that. Left tackles are generally going to be the bigger one. But, I mean, the left tackle of the future is a rookie. So, correct. I mean, you're not going to have anybody up absolutely there yet before they play a snap.
But, yeah, I mean, like, look, I always, to me, it's I'm there for one reason. That's just to check out the quarterback. That's generally me. And you know, we've talked about this. Archer brought this up because, you know, they have to do the Howard. Let's take a look at the first-round draft picks and see how they're doing. And the same answer when it comes to offensive lines. You really can't evaluate offensive line until the pads are on.
Yeah, I mean,
and the pads are only going to be on a handful of times.
First pad of practice while we're out there in Oxnard will be the first chance anybody really gets to evaluate Tyler Guyton or Cooper Beebe or any of those guys.
Running backs, corners.
Corners. Like, I feel bad.
We have not talked enough about Stephon Gilmore being unemployed.
I know.
We have not talked enough about this.
We actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because last week we actually mentioned Patrick Peterson.
How many times did you hit the...
I hit it a couple times. I'm not used to it yet because I wasn't here when you guys came up with this thing.
Yeah, the crutch bell.
I did have to hit it a few times.
The Patrick
Which
Peterson...
one Tolo has said he has another crutch thing that he does, and we have not picked up on it yet.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
No. I know it's like when you finish sentences, you say them like 400 miles an hour, and like you can't really hear you enunciate words at the end of sentences. Yeah, tell me.
Ultimately.
Okay.
Ultimately, I think what this happened, ultimately, but I say ultimately a lot. So, and I noticed it first, and then a listener texted it and was like, crap, that means that other people hear it.
So ultimately, funny and interesting.
Yep. So there we go. Okay, so we are 8 broadcast days away from our trip to Oxnard.
Ultimately, you're not funny or interesting.
And ultimately, I'm very funny, and you know that's true. We're going to do a position-by-position inventory of the Cowboys roster as we head into training camp.
Oh, baby!
And take a look at the guys currently on the roster, who's on the bubble, expectations, overall confidence in the group. And we'll start off today, unlike ESPN, which is no idea how they're going to stack their quarterback rankings and where to drop that in a content drop. We're going to do quarterbacks first today, and then we will run down the position groups all the way leading up to Oxnard. So with quarterbacks, one of the things that I was looking at yesterday, I wanted to see, okay, what exactly has been the investment? And I think you could make an argument that out of contending teams, there's nobody who's invested less in terms of initial capital into their quarterback position, and nobody who's invested more financially after the fact. Because the initial investment, the Cowboys, their three quarterbacks, which I think we all believe in a spot start, could Cooper Rush and Trey Lance could probably win a game for you in a spot start. We know Cooper Rush. We've seen it. Yeah. And Trey Lance, I would imagine you could probably create an atmosphere that allowed for him to bus drive for you at the very least. And they've gotten that. They've got three capable quarterbacks potentially by investing a 2016 fourth in what they used on Dak, a 2024 third, what they traded for Trey Lance, and an undrafted pick in Cooper Rush. Their cumulative cap hit this year, those three players, that quarterback room is 24.9% of the Cowboys cap this year.
Wow.
They are one quarter of the cap, the quarterback room.
Used to be the running back room.
Yeah, it used to be.
That is by far the highest percentage in the NFL this year.
Gosh.
Far and away. Because they've let Dak's contract get to this ballooned point.
$60 million.
They've got another $5 million on Trey Lance. Dak's cap number right now is $55,455,000. Together, the quarterback room is $63 million in cap space that it's taking up. So they have ballooned this cap with the group. When you look at position battles, as much as people would want a Trey Lance opportunity here, especially if Dak isn't locked in long-term, none of these guys are locked in long-term. You don't have any of them under contract after this year. I don't think we're heading into Oxnard with a single battle on the depth chart. I think we head into this year as it's Dak, it's Lance, it's Cooper Rush. And I think the bigger question is, do they want to keep Cooper Rush?
You're surprised that Lance is ahead of Cooper?
Yes.
Not that he's ahead of him, but that it would be solidified to me. Or in general, that he's even ahead of him on the depth chart right now.
That he's ahead of them.
He took all of the first team reps that Dak would sit out during minicamp.
That means like we just want to get you reps.
They want to see him.
You need to grease the wheels a little bit. So, game one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're telling me that the number two quarterback in the opener is going to be Trey Lance?
That's what I think, yeah.
Okay. I think you're going to be wrong.
Ooh, a bet. Here's a bet for us. I think the bigger question is, does Cooper Rush, do they decide to keep three quarterbacks?
That was my question. Are they even? So if Trey Lance is going to be the number two, do they cut Cooper Rush? Does he make it through camp?
Is Cooper Rush under contract?
No. Not after this year.
I was about to say, because this is Frugal the final Jones, year. Definitely going to keep him around.
They ain't going to pay him to do nothing. But, I mean, you have to
Salvation
look at
Jerry. Yeah.
I'll look at his contract real quick.
The Red Kettle campaign with that red hair.
Okay, no contract?
None of these guys are under contract after this year. Dak, Trey Lance, or Cooper Rush. They're all out.
Okay.
And that's...
The only way I believe that Trey Lance could be the backup for the opener would be because, like... We need you to do this. We want you to win the spot. He's not going to win it off performance in training camp. I don't believe.
I'll say this.
Not off merit. Meritocracy, Romo.
Week one, if Dak does not have an extension and the Cowboys are still trying to pressure him to, do you think they could reasonably pressure him with having Trey Lance as the third quarterback? Like, as any sort of
as a negotiating point?
No, I'm just saying, if they, in general, if they were to say, because Dak's side could then say, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And they would say, well, we have this former top three, but not necessarily that he's better than you, but we have, we have a fallback here. If he can't even beat out Cooper Rush, though, they would then say, okay, well,
yeah.
If you have him third, you don't
even
believe
that. Okay, so then we're talking about maybe Lance being the two for the wrong reasons.
Cooper's dead cap is $625 if they were to cut him. That's nothing.
No, it's negligible if they decide to walk away from it. But Trey Lance in general, I think you are talking about.
But hang on, let me just be clear. Your life is on the line tomorrow, and Trey Lance or Cooper Rush are going to be your quarterback. You die if you lose the game. Who's your quarterback, RJ?
Oh, I would take Cooper Rush.
Who's your quarterback?
Probably Rush, because I know they can win with him.
That's my point.
I know they can win with him, but you could also look at it as, do they take the Tom Moore philosophy? If Dak goes down, we're effed, and we don't practice effed. Like, I mean, it's the same sort of where it's just, okay.
Manning?
You can spin and pick it. Like, either one, it's not going to matter, because we're going to
ultimately... Whatever. All those things aside, I'm just saying, the better quarterback today that I would trust is Cooper Rush.
Well, that's what I know. Like, I know that Cooper Rush can win games. I don't know that Trey Lance can for sure.
Right.
So that's just...
I want Trey Lance to be the two.
I think Trey Lance...
I want Trey Lance to ball out in Oxnard.
Trey Lance is a more talented quarterback than Cooper Rush. And so what I'm saying is that...
So am I.
I think that long term, there's a better... If you told me Dak went down week one, Not just who's going to win a game for him tomorrow. If you told me Dak went down week one, who do I think?
For how long?
Season. He's out for the year. If he's out for the year, I'm playing Trey Lance.
I'm playing Trey Lance 100%.
I'm going to play Rush for the first five games. Once I'm 1-4, then I'll turn it over to
Lance. See.
But what if I go 4-1?
See, I think that's Cooper like Rush. Yeah, the issue, and this is, again, I mean, there's a ceiling with Cooper.
Yeah.
There's no ceiling with Trey Lance. That's why I would play Trey. Because there's no floor either.
Well, it's still the wildest stat in the NFL is that Trey Lance, since middle school, has thrown fewer than 500 passes. That's still insane to me that you're talking about potentially having that as, oh, here's our insurance, as a guy who threw fewer passes than Dak did through like 12 weeks last season. All right, so that's the quarterback room right now. No additions to it. I think there's very little competition. You're talking about a confidence level, just really quickly, 1 to 10 confidence level in the group, not just the starter quarterback group. I think I'd have them at a solid 8.5 right now heading into this season.
Definitely. Below the belt with the 8-part series every day at this time. Let's win you some money with the Home Run Derby tonight in Arlington and on this station. Next on Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
From one contentious topic to another, from politics to Dak Prescott. More on that in just a second. First off, a quick shout out. Training camp's going to be a little bit different for us this year, as every year when we get the parade of Cowboys players brought to us, Jake Ferguson last year, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb, who is the star of the training camp interviews. They are typically brought over to us by one Joe Trahan from Cowboys PR, who announced over the weekend that he is leaving. But he'll be working continuously with Tony Faye PR, who is a PR group that's absolutely fantastic. And they do a ton to help us out, booking guests and doing some different things. He'll be heading up their World Cup PR stuff. And so he called me over the weekend to tell me, We're finally going to get you to fairly cover soccer. Like, now that this is going to be my job, I'm gonna make sure that you fairly cover soccer. And I had to tell him, I'm a big fan of the old checkered ball. Always loved it, as us football heads call it. And so congratulations to Joe Trahan, a big change over in the Cowboys PR department. He had spent half his life there with the Cowboys, and he's moving on to greener pastures.
Very, very disappointed. One of the things I look forward to every training camp is the inevitable Sean and Joe fight.
Oh, yeah.
That I was looking for.
Last year, they both separately told me, because that's the first year I've been out there on the show. Obviously, I was there the previous year doing the Cowboys stuff, but that's the first year I've done the show out there. And they both separately told me on the same day about how, oh, yeah, we just basically bicker with each other for like 48 hours. And by the end of it, we're like, oh, this is pretty good. Good camp, guys. And like how they're like the odd couple, but it works. They're always in the end. They're always so happy with each other, but they bicker along the way. Yeah. Like last year, I remember there was one guest, I won't say who, but I remember there was one guest we first got that Sean and Joe went back and forth text about, like, come on, get us a bigger day, bro. What are you doing here? So congratulations to Joe. He has always been fantastic. So training camp will be a little bit different for us this year. When we get to training camp, is this the most important position group again this year? Is just quarterback. Is there anywhere you're going to have your eyes on more? Offensive line, maybe, with all the changes? Or is what Trey Lance is doing, what they're managing Dak's workload like if he doesn't have a long-term extension, is quarterback the top priority this year?
Offensive line, according to you last night.
Well, offensive line, because, you know, that list that came out, you know, the Cowboys did not have an offensive tackle in the top 10 or the honorable mentions or the other receiving votes. That was 26 players, Bobby.
Well, I mean, look, here...
That tackle. Now, that to me, that's kind of scary.
But, I mean, there's also Terrence Steele's coming off of an injury. He was considered one of the better right tackles in the NFL before that. Left tackles are generally going to be the bigger one. But, I mean, the left tackle of the future is a rookie. So, correct. I mean, you're not going to have anybody up absolutely there yet before they play a snap.
But, yeah, I mean, like, look, I always, to me, it's I'm there for one reason. That's just to check out the quarterback. That's generally me. And you know, we've talked about this. Archer brought this up because, you know, they have to do the Howard. Let's take a look at the first-round draft picks and see how they're doing. And the same answer when it comes to offensive lines. You really can't evaluate offensive line until the pads are on.
Yeah, I mean,
and the pads are only going to be on a handful of times.
First pad of practice while we're out there in Oxnard will be the first chance anybody really gets to evaluate Tyler Guyton or Cooper Beebe or any of those guys.
Running backs, corners.
Corners. Like, I feel bad.
We have not talked enough about Stephon Gilmore being unemployed.
I know.
We have not talked enough about this.
We actually, it's funny you mentioned that because last week we actually mentioned Patrick Peterson.
How many times did you hit the?
I hit it a couple of times. I'm not used to it yet because I wasn't here when you guys came up with this thing.
Yeah, the crutch bell.
I did have to hit it a few times.
The Patrick
which
Peterson,
one Tolo has said he has another crutch thing that he does. And we have not picked up on it yet.
Do you want me to tell you what it is?
No. I know it's like when you finish sentences, you say them like 400 miles an hour. And like you can't really hear you enunciate words at the end of sentences. Yeah, tell me.
Ultimately.
Okay.
Ultimately, I think what this happened. Ultimately, I say ultimately a lot. So, and I noticed it first. And then a listener texted it. I was like, crap. That means that other people hear it.
So ultimately funny and interesting.
Yep. So there we go. Okay. So we are 8 broadcast days away from our trip to Oxnard.
Ultimately, you're not funny or interesting.
And ultimately, I'm very funny. And you know that's true. We're going to do a position by position inventory of the Cowboys roster as we head into training camp.
Oh, baby.
And take a look at the guys currently on the roster, who's on the bubble, expectations, overall confidence in the group. And we'll start off today, unlike ESPN, which is no idea how they're going to stack their quarterback rankings and where to drop that in a content drop. We're going to do quarterbacks first today, and then we will run down the position groups all the way leading up to Oxnard. So with quarterbacks, one of the things that I was looking at yesterday, I wanted to see, okay, what exactly has been the investment? And I think you could make an argument that out of contending teams, there's nobody who's invested less in terms of initial capital into their quarterback position and nobody who's invested more financially after the fact. Because the initial investment, the Cowboys, their three quarterbacks, which I think we all believe in a spot start, could Cooper Rush and Trey Lance could probably win a game for you in a spot start. We know Cooper Rush. We've seen it. Yeah. And Trey Lance, I would imagine you could probably create an atmosphere that allowed for him to bus drive for you at the very least. And they've gotten that. They've got three capable quarterbacks potentially by investing a 2016 fourth in what they used on Dak, a 2024 third, what they traded for Trey Lance, and an undrafted pick in Cooper Rush. Their cumulative cap hit this year, those three players, that quarterback room is 24.9% of the Cowboys cap this year.
Wow.
They are one quarter of the cap, the quarterback room.
Used to be their running back room.
Yeah, it used to be.
That is by far the highest percentage in the NFL this year.
Gosh.
Far and away. Because they've let Dak's contract get to this ballooned point.
$60 million.
They've got another $5 million on Trey Lance. Dak's cap number right now is $55,455,000. Together, the quarterback room is $63 million in cap space that it's taking up. So they have ballooned this cap with the group. When you look at position battles, as much as people would want a Trey Lance opportunity here, especially if Dak isn't locked in long-term, none of these guys are locked in long-term. You don't have any of them under contract after this year. I don't think we're heading into Oxnard with a single battle on the depth chart. I think we head into this year as it's Dak, it's Lance, it's Cooper Rush. And I think the bigger question is, do they want to keep Cooper Rush?
You're surprised that Lance is ahead of Cooper?
Yes.
Not that he's ahead of him, but that it would be solidified to me. Or in general, that he's even ahead of him on the depth chart right now.
That he's ahead of him.
He took all of the first team reps that Dak would sit out during minicamp.
That doesn't mean that means like we just want to get you reps.
They want to see him.
They want to see him. You need to grease the wheels a little bit. So, game one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're telling me that the number two quarterback in the opener is going to be Trey Lance?
That's what I think, yeah.
Okay. And I think you're going to be wrong.
Ooh, a bet. Here's a bet for us. I think the bigger question is, does Cooper Rush, do they decide to keep three quarterbacks?
That was my question. Are they even? So if Trey Lance is going to be the number two, do they cut Cooper Rush? Does he make it through camp?
Is Cooper Rush under contract?
No. Not after this year.
I was about to say, because Frugal Jones
year.
Definitely going to keep him around.
They ain't going to pay him to do nothing. But, I mean, you have to
Salvation
look at,
Jerry.
I'll look at his contract real quick.
The Red Kettle campaign with that red hair.
Cooper okay, Rush. No contract?
No, none of these guys are under contract after this year. Dak, Trey Lance, or Cooper Rush. They're all out.
Okay.
And that's
the only way I believe that Trey Lance could be the backup for the opener would be because, like, We need you to do this. We want you to win the spot. He's not going to win it off performance in training camp. I don't believe.
I'll say this. Week one.
Not off merit. Meritocracy, yeah. Romo.
Week one, if Dak does not have an extension and the Cowboys are still trying to pressure him to, do you think they could reasonably pressure him with having Trey Lance as the third quarterback? Like, as any sort of a, like...
As a negotiating point?
No, I'm just saying, if they, in general, if they were to say, because Dak's side could then say, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And they would say, well, we have this former top three, but not necessarily that he's better than you, but we have, like, we have a fallback here.
And if then you
he
laugh.
If he can't even beat out Cooper Rush, though, they would then say, okay, well, you, if you have him third, you don't
so then we're talking about maybe Lance being the two for the wrong reasons.
Cooper's, by the way, Cooper's dead cap is 625 if they were to cut him. So that's nothing.
No, it's negligible if they decide to walk away from it. But Trey Lance in general, I think you are talking about.
But hang on, let me just let me just be clear. Your life is on the line tomorrow, and Trey Lance or Cooper Rush are going to be your quarterback. You die if you lose the game. Who's your quarterback, RJ?
Oh, I would take Cooper Rush.
Who's your quarterback?
Probably Rush, because I just know they can win with him.
That's my point.
I know they can win with him, but you could also look at it as, do they take the Tom Moore philosophy? If Dak goes down, we're effed, and we don't practice effed. Like, I mean, it's the same sort of, where it's just, okay.
Was you, that with
you can,
Manning?
You can spin and pick it. Like, either one, it's not going to matter, because we're going to ultimately...
Whatever. Well, all those things aside, I'm just saying, the better quarterback today that I would trust is Cooper Rush.
Well, that's what I know. Like, I know that Cooper Rush can win games. I don't know that Trey Lance can for sure.
Right.
So that's just...
I want Trey Lance to be the two.
I think Trey Lance...
I want Trey Lance to ball out in Oxnard.
Trey Lance is a more talented quarterback than Cooper Rush. And so what I'm saying is that...
So am I.
I think that long term, there's a better... If you told me Dak went down week one... Not just who's going to win a game for tomorrow. If you told me Dak went down week one, who do I think...
For how long?
Season. He's out for the year. If he's out for the year, I'm playing Trey Lance.
I'm playing Trey Lance 100%.
And, I'm going to play Rush for the first five games. Once I'm 1-4, then I'll turn it over to Lance.
Ooh, see...
But what if I go 4-1?
See, I think that's... Cooper like Rush, there's a... The issue, and this is, again, I mean, there's a ceiling with Cooper.
Yeah.
There's no ceiling with Trey Lance. That's why I would play Trey. Because there's no floor either.
Well, it's still the wildest stat in the NFL is that Trey Lance, since middle school, has thrown fewer than 500 passes. That's still insane to me that you're talking about potentially having that as, oh, here's our insurance, as a guy who threw fewer passes than Dak did through like 12 weeks last season. All right, so that's the quarterback room right now. No additions to it. I think there's very little competition. If you're talking about a confidence level, just really quickly, 1 to 10 confidence level in the group, not just the starter quarterback group, I think I'd have them at a solid 8.5 right now heading into this season.
Definitely. Below the belt with the 8-part series every day at this time. Let's win you some money with the Home Run Derby tonight in Arlington and on this station. Next on Sean and RJ.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.